If you've been here the last few Sundays, we've been in the book of Acts. We're still there, chapter 2 today, the book of Acts. And we've been seeing some great things take place. The book of Acts, like all books, is a great book of the Bible. And we kind of started and we had a few Mother's Day or whatever, Father's Day next week, and kind of broke up a little bit of going right straight through Acts. But if you've been around a Sunday or two, we saw Jesus taken up to heaven. We saw the famous scripture, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We saw Judas replaced. We saw Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came and all the tribes gathered around and they heard the proclamation, they heard the word, and the Spirit of God was there, the Holy Spirit. They heard it in their own language, and they had the deep joy and the fulfillment of the Spirit in their life, and they acted a little bit different than they had been. They'd been under trial and all kinds of things, but man, when the Holy Spirit came, it was a time. And Peter had to address the crowd. He had to say, let me tell you what's happening here. I want to explain this to you. And he's been in the process of that as we've been talking about it. He was talking about what was spoken by Joel in chapter 2. He gave David's prophecy of what David said. And now we get to this part today concerning salvation in Acts 2, 37 through 40. It's on the screen there. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pled with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So Peter had been in the process of explaining what was going on with the day of Pentecost, and you know, they were accused of being drunk and all kinds of things, and Peter says, I'm going to explain this to you. And again, he's been in that process of doing that in the last few Sundays. He makes it crystal clear. They've been hearing what he's saying. The Spirit of God been working, and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So that's cut and dry, as you might say. The people were convicted. Conviction was part of this, and they cried out, what shall we do? What shall we do? He answers that question. In verse 37, he says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. One version, I think it's the King James, says their hearts were pricked. It cut to the heart. The Spirit of God was working. They were convicted, and they said, well, what shall we do? Peter gives them the answer. When the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, he is drawing you. There is a tugging going on. How do you explain conviction to someone? Not the easiest thing to do, but I think we can do it with the Lord's help. You know there's a tugging. You know there's a pulling. You know that there is a sense that you need to be saved, that you need a Savior, that you're a sinner, and you need to be saved by the blood of Christ, and the Holy Spirit helps with that. And sometimes people have said it was like a sense of hurt or a sense of pain, or that I have done God wrong, or I've disappointed God, or I've failed God, or I just need to be redeemed. I need this sin to be forgiven. And there's a lot of words that have been used over the years. But conviction is an emotional movement of the heart. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, and you may remember the last time the Spirit spoke to you. It might have been in Sunday school today. It might have been in your prayer time this morning. Whatever. You may remember when the Spirit spoke to you about being saved. You might have been a child, and you felt that tugging. You felt the Holy Spirit saying you need Jesus. And some respond the first time. Some do not. But we need to make sure that we don't turn the Spirit of God down and listen to what He says to us. So we know somewhat, whether we say it's a pulling, a tugging, an awareness of God, an awareness of sin and it being wrong or disappointing God or whatever, we know it's there, and that's what was happening. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent and be baptized." So that's the answer of the hour. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter's saying, listen, I've been trying to explain this to you. I've been trying to help you understand Pentecost and all the things that's been happening here. And this is what you do. You repent and be baptized. Repenting, turning from sin, saying we're sorry for sin. And repenting says we're sorry, and it's a turning from sin. I don't want to continue in my sin. I don't want to continue to hurt God. I don't want to continue, excuse me, but this spot on my glasses is driving me crazy. I don't want to continue to disappoint or hurt God. I know that I want to serve God. I need to serve God. I have a desire to serve God. Oh, thank you. That's so much better. And I'm repenting. I'm saying I'm sorry for sin. A lot of the problem this day and time, in my opinion, is nobody wants to call sin sin anyway. And so what's sin for you might not be sin over here, and people talk about that foolishness all the time. And then if there's no sin, if nothing's sin, what I have to repent for? Well, we better stick with the Word of God. It tells us what sin is. It tells us how to live, and we better stick with it because we'll be judged by the Word of the living God one day. So repent, He says. And then He says, and be baptized. So we know what baptism is. We fill the pool up here, the baptismal pool, and we see an outward sign of an inward work of grace. And people stand there, and they may give a testimony. We may pray, and we say, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we put them down in the water, symbolic of dead to being dead to sin, and raised up to new life. An outward proclamation saying to the people, I have decided to follow Jesus. I've turned my life over to Him. That's what that is. So repentance is a command to change your life. And we accept Jesus and He does that. Baptism is a command, the very first one after you're saved. And we need to follow the Lord in baptism, just like Peter is saying here. You may need to help me with this, but it is my humble opinion that there is a greater sense of this movement today that I can be strong enough to be a good person, that I can read self-help books, that I can, and all that's good stuff, and I can go to this conference and that conference, and I can have determination and grit, and I can change myself. To some degree, that is true. But if you're going to be saved by the blood of Jesus and go to heaven, you cannot change yourself enough to get there. You must repent and be sorry for sin and ask Jesus, the only Savior of the world, to come in and forgive you of sin. Do all the good we can. Do all the self-help things. Try to, yes, improve ourselves most definitely. But you can change yourself for the good to a certain point, but you cannot save yourself. It takes Jesus to do that. And by His power, not our power, but His, our own efforts cannot save us. Well, you say, well, this guy, he's such a good moral guy. He's such a good guy. He does so much good. That is wonderful. But you must be born again. You've got to repent. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin and accept this Jesus. Peter was trying to explain this thing to him. He said, matter of fact, let me explain this to you. And part of it, he did that, and they were cut to the heart. The Spirit of God had been talking to them, convicting them, and listen, they were cut to the heart. What shall I do? If the Spirit of God is convicting, we get to the point, we've got to answer a question here. What am I to do with this? And Peter's answer to them, to us today, is repent and be baptized. A person who truly repents. That really there is a change in their life brought on by Jesus Christ. They will be baptized. You say, well, do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? That question's been around a long time. Well, the thief on the cross, people go there. He didn't have an opportunity to. But it is a command, I believe, to repent and be baptized. You repent of sin, and then you should be baptized if you want to follow the Lord's example and what Peter is saying here today. So, yes, it is very important, but we've got to repent, because without true repentance, there is no salvation. And it's turned every way you can turn it, it seems, today in our world. But we must repent and be born again. Sunday school lesson was so good this morning to help us think about coming to church and doing those kinds of things. But it's kind of like it was said in a roundabout way that common sense tells you if you believe something, you act on it. Do you agree with that statement that common sense will tell you if you really believe something, you'll act on it? If you really believe in Jesus, you will ask Him, is that conviction's coming, and you'll repent and you'll be baptized. Common sense says if you really have been changed by the blood of Christ, you'll want to be baptized. Common sense says that if we're true Christians, then we want to be in the house of God. We want to be, we have a desire to follow our Lord and our King if we've repented and we act upon that. In Romans 6, on the screen, Paul was stressing this same point. He says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life in Him. Again, we see the symbolic part of it, of going down into the water, dead to sin, being raised to new life, and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. It's important. So we're baptized, Paul's saying here, into Jesus, into Him. So that's very important. Change your own life? Sure, all that we can. But we can't change enough, we can't read enough self-help books and that kind of thing to save ourselves. It's impossible. The forgiveness of sin. There in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. You know what sin is. I know what sin is. It's been around a long time. Forgiveness of sin. We're turning. We're repenting. We're saying the sin's got to go. We're sending it away. And we're saying we want to live for Christ. It's needed. Yeah, a human problem, yes. but forgiveness is needed. Romans 6:23, short little scripture on the screen. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've all heard that. For the wages of sin is death. You keep living in sin. You keep living in disobedience to God. The result of that is death and damnation in a place through all of eternity that's called hell. But it don't have to be that way. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And a place for the redeemed to go for all eternity is called heaven. Forgiveness of sin, the biblical way, is very important. Very important, the biblical way. And it helps us have that fellowship. Just as God has fellowship with the Son, and the Son has fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and it's called the Trinity. And then when we're saved by the blood of Jesus, we're saved into Christ. He's in us and we're in Him. And there's a connection, and there is a fellowship that we have as a child of the living God, with God our Father, with Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and how it works together in the life of a believer. You can forgive somebody on this earth, man to man, what have you. We can say, well, I forgive you, or somebody might say, well, I need you to forgive me for, or whatever. We can do that. We can do that with the Lord's help. But to take the guilt out of the person's heart who may feel guilty over some way they've wronged you, you can say to them, I forgive you. And you can be sincere and mean it. And that's the part we do. We say, okay, we forgive you. But you cannot take the guilt out of their heart. Mankind can't do that. That's another job of the Lord. You know, he can take the guilt out of one's heart. Well, what all, preacher, did you do that you needed forgiving for? I'm not going there. Anybody want to come up and tell us about that? Tell me everything you did wrong that you needed forgiving for. Come on, I'm looking for volunteers. Huh? Tell me all you did. We all need forgiveness of sin. We need that. And God, through His perfect plan, through His Son, He said, I'm coming that mankind can be forgiven, that the world can be forgiven through Jesus Christ the Lord. And He has the power to take that guilt away. He has the power to say, you're not guilty anymore. Therefore, there is no what? Condemnation. And them that trust in the Lord Jesus. Okay? He can take that guilt away. Only God Himself can do it. Verse 39. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This is good for you Jews here that I'm talking to. This is good for you. It's good for those far off, the Gentiles. It's good for anybody that will listen, those in a distant land. It's good for them whom the Lord our God will call. The ones that God will call. That kind of brings me back to that convicting thing. Where the Spirit of God convicts. That's God calling. That's God's Instagram message. That's the post on Facebook. That's whatever gets your attention, that the Spirit of God is calling us to repentance. Because let's face the fact, mankind's self-centered. Mankind is rebellious against the things of God. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it. We want to be independent. That is that human nature, and it must be crucified with Christ. The human nature needs to be crucified. So God calls mankind. There is a universal call. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school. Somebody said universal call around the world. That yes, here and at Jones Chapel, yes, in Clarkdale, Meridian, Mississippi, the United States, the world over, there is a universal call. for the people in Russia and India and Japan and China and all over this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And it's a universal call. And then the Spirit of God starts calling on a certain day. He called in my heart and life. And a certain day yours and this kind of thing. And we listen. We don't just waltz into God's presence and say, "Here I am, God. How's everything doing? How's everything going?" The Spirit calls. And when He calls, we better pay attention. We don't come to Christ all alone. He calls us. Be thankful for the call of God. Be thankful that there really is a Holy Spirit that Peter has been trying to explain to these folks here in the first few books of Acts. That there is a Spirit who calls us unto God. You know right from wrong. You know what God expects. You know the Bible's true. Oh, we run from it. We try to escape it sometimes in seasons in our life. But we know. And the Spirit calls. And the Spirit talks to us and says, "Listen, this is the area you need to go in today. This is what needs to happen today. This is the day of salvation today." And He helps us with that. It's not our own effort. It's not our own works. It is God calling us. Be thankful that you hear that call. Be thankful that your mind and your heart is in tune and you can hear what thus saith the Lord, what the Spirit is saying. Be quiet. Be still. Enough before the Lord to hear what He says. Pray unto Him and listen and read His word. Because before we were saved, we were dead. Our spirit was dead. I mean, dead. Just like a physical body, once we say the person has passed, there's no activity in that physical body. It's dead. And before God saved us, our spirit was dead. So when God is calling, when God is tugging, when God is saying, "Listen, here, pay attention to this area of your life," or "Listen, you need to be saved. Listen, you need to repent. Listen, you need a Savior. Listen, you need to start this or stop this in your life." Pay attention to the Spirit of God and what He's saying. We got to pay attention. The Bible says that, you know, God's Spirit won't always strive with man. So pay attention when the Spirit's speaking to you. Well, Peter was doing a good job. The Spirit of God was moving. What shall we do? Their hearts had been pricked. Their hearts had been cut. They were cut to the heart. They saw something needed to happen. What shall we do? Peter said, "Repent and be baptized." So today, what do we do? Maybe you need to repent and be baptized. Maybe you need to be saved right here, right now, today. Maybe you need to say, "Lord, I've backslid and I've fallen away. God, I'm coming today to repent. I'm coming to say I'm sorry. I feel Your Spirit speaking to me on what is really true in life. I feel the Spirit of God through this Word of God, through this message today, through that comment in Sunday school, about what my mama said to me last night at supper, and how the Spirit of God worked through her. Or I know something needs to change in me." And you repent. You say, "Lord, I'm sorry." And He forgives you. And you start living for Him. What shall we do? He says, repent. Verse 40, with many other words, He warned them. So what else did He say? I don't know. With many other words, He warned them. And He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Save yourself from this corrupt generation. That was good then. It's good today. Save yourselves from a corrupt generation that does these crazy things in the name of our government, that goes against God's word in the political realm, in the social media realm, the media realm, the everything that we can put in the blank. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Repent and be baptized. I said in Sunday school, as we discussed, I said the last few days has been whizzing through my mind about conviction. That I've not been praying enough for God's convicting spirit in our own land. And you say, well, what brought you to that point? Well, I'm not sure. Just in reading and looking and looking at this scripture, for one. That what shall we do? Well, Peter had been talking to them. They were cut to the heart. And then sometimes as a church, we say, what shall we do here? What can we do to help people see the importance of connecting with the body? What can we do to get people to see how important it is to repent and be baptized and be an active part of a church fellowship? What shall we do? My answer to that one is pray for conviction. So today, I pray you'll take the word of the Lord and let it land where it lands in your heart and mind, and that you and I, all of us, will listen to what the Spirit says to us this day. Would you stand? God, it is again that we stand here in your presence to thank you and to praise you for who you are. To thank you for your great love and mercy, forgiveness, and grace. Lord, I'm so glad it's available today. I'm glad that no matter where we've been, what we've done, and all the things we could talk about, that you are a God of forgiveness and love and grace and power. God, only you know the hearts of man in this building. When Peter was preaching these words here in Acts 2, it says they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the others, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized. Father, here we stand before you. If there's one that needs to repent and be baptized, I pray it'll happen today. They'll walk up here to this altar and say, God, I'm sorry. I need to be saved. If there's one that needs to say, God, I've fallen back here. I need to rededicate my life to you. If people are here walking just as close to you as they ever have, may they join me and praying for a real move of God in our own country. May we join together and pray for this convicting power of the Holy Spirit to be loosened in our own land upon our loved ones that are not saved. So Father, here we are. We our aim is to praise you and give you glory. Our aim is to be submissive to you and to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to each of us right now. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.